What's up, Tan and J-Man Show Nation? Happy Labor Day to everybody out there. It's September 2nd, 2024. Hard to believe we're starting the last quarter of 2024, but here we are. Fall is in the air, even though fall doesn't start officially until, I believe, September 22nd. Starting to feel like fall outside. Got college football officially back. Week one in the books. Well, officially in the books tonight after Florida State and Boston College play. We'll be previewing the week two Big Ten games, making our predictions for those. But it's also the start of week one for the NFL this week. We'll be giving our week one predictions for that and our season predictions as we went through the playoff prediction machine. And once again, J-Man, like every year, I just have to laugh at some of my results.
Yeah, I'm with you. You know, I always say Memorial Day is the unofficial start of summer. Labor Day is the unofficial start of fall, in my opinion. Although we can still have some hot days after Labor Day. But, yeah, hopefully fall weather will be in the air, continue to be in the air. And, yeah, football is underway. Fun time.
But before we dive deep into things, I want to give you a minute or two to talk about your Chicago Cubs because they're kind of on a roll and creeping back in.
Before we do that, I'll give you a trivia question real quick.
All right. So
we do have birdie bogey this week. It is a baseball-related question, so it kind of goes right into,
Give me a strike.
It's an Aaron Judge-related question, so we'll see. Judger needed the fewest games to reach 300 career homers in MLB history. He, let's see here. He needs 400. It looks like 457 games to reach 400 to become the fastest to hit 400. So, what player currently is the quickest to hit 400 career homers?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Quickest player in MLB history, games wise, to hit 400 career homers. Birdie Bogey is brought to you by Arlington Public House. Arlington Public House is upscale cuisine, casual atmosphere, cocktails with casual atmosphere, located 703 Main Street in Rochester. Their new hours starting tomorrow. They will be closed Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, open 4 to 9 Thursday, 4 to 10 Friday, and Saturday. So go get some grub at Arlington Public House. The Cubs, they did what they had to do this week, and that was win all six, so you can't really complain about that. They are right now they are scoring an insane amount of runs, which earlier in the year they could not score runs to save their life. For about a 3 month stretch, they could not score runs, but they averaged 10 runs a game this week, which is absurd because they played the Pittsburgh Pirates, where they had to face Mitch Keller, Jared Jones, and Paul Skeens, and they found a way to get to all of those guys. Mainly the Pirates bullpen on Wednesday when the Cubs found themselves down 10-3 in the seventh inning and somehow scored 11 runs the final three innings. Cubs offense right now over the last eight games, 98 hits, 80 runs, 43 extra base hits, 18 steals, 14 homers. No other MLB team in history has reached all of those numbers over an eight-game span. So they're rocking and rolling. They had not scored 14 runs in a game all season up until eight games ago, and they've now done it four times over the past eight games. That's just baseball. But they find themselves three games out of the wild card. Their easy part of their schedule is pretty much over. They do have to face the Pirates this week, but again, they have to face Jared Jones and Paul Skeens. Then the Yankees come to town, then they have to go to L.A. It was a nice little stretch, but it's probably going to come to an end here. But at least they were showing a little bit of fight. So
if you had to predict right now on Monday, September 2nd, who's the third wild card in the NL? Is it the Braves, the Mets, or the Cubs?
I'll lean Braves. They kind of have it more so. They did struggle this past week and let the Mets back in, which the Mets got to play the Chicago White Sox, who have lost 40 of their last 44 games, 107 losses all year on the year. They will go down as the worst team in the history of baseball. They will have the most losses. It will honestly be a surprise if they don't end up with the most losses in the history of baseball. They have to go like, I think it's like 21-9 the rest of the way to prevent that, and that's not happening. So, whoever gets to play them, it's a nice little break. And if you lose to them, it's the end of the world. Let's be honest.
It's pretty unbelievable.
I'm going with the Braves right now. They are a game up on the Mets, and the Mets have played some pretty good baseball. But just give me the Braves.
All right. We'll check back in on that. At least it's got interesting for you. So,
Yeah, it's been nice to see them win some games against teams they need to beat. And it was a frustrating week the previous week, only going 4-2 against the Tigers and Marlins. But Tigers find themselves one game over 500 right now, so they're not as bad as we thought of them anyway, I should say. But yeah, playing some good baseball. It's nice that they've kept it a little interesting in September, where the weeknights are no longer boring.
Yep, there you go. Yep, now you got Cubs baseball, Dolphins football.
Mm-hmm.
All's good in the world.
Yeah. Well, we'll see how good it is next Monday.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. Fair enough. But before we get into all the NFL talk, you want to talk some college football?
Let's do it quick.
Actually, we probably, one of us should educate the other one before we get
into this. I have it pulled up right now. So on this day in 1940, who won the PGA Championship men's golf?
I knew there was going to be a PGA Championship. Mm-hmm. 1940. Let's go with Byron Nelson.
You nailed it. Beat Sam Snead in a Monday 36-hole final. On this day in a lot of baseball, obviously. 1965, Chicago Cubs slugger Ernie Banks hit his MLB 400th career homer. So,
pretty good one.
Yeah. 1966, Joe Auer returns the opening kickoff 95 yards for a Dolphins touchdown in the Dolphins' first ever NFL regular season game. They did lose to John Madden in the Oakland Raiders before 26,000 fans at the Orange Bowl. That's a pretty good way to start an NFL franchise, is running back the opening kick.
I can't think of a better way.
No. I mean, they could have won the game. That probably would have been nice, but
true.
Billy Martin was fired by the Detroit Tigers on this day in 1973 due to continual differences with the front office. It seems like he had differences with the front office at every stop, so maybe he was the problem.
I thought when you said he got fired, I thought for sure it was by the Yankees again.
Yeah. 1974, who won the PGA tournament?
74? Jack Nicklaus.
It was the first ever Players' Championship. And he did win.
All right.
On this day in 1979, who won the – that's amateur. I'll pass over that one. On this day in that's going to do it. That is going to do it. That is surprising. But there is nothing – there's like one in the 90s and one in the 2000s, and none of them are worth sharing. So.
Pretty short list for the On This Day facts for September 2nd, but that's all right. Some weeks are shorter than others.
Yep.
So, but that is the On This Day brought to you by Moody Woodcrafts. Moody Woodcrafts is a veteran-owned and operated woodcraft shop based out of Texas with Indiana grassroots. They provide 100% hand-cut custom designs to fit your needs, and their pieces are a great addition to any home, office, or man cave. You can see some of their recently completed projects by visiting them at Moody Woodcrafts on Instagram and on Facebook. And if you let them know the Tan and J-Man Show sent you, you get 15% off your first sign order. So get those sign orders in. Like I said at the start of the show, we're starting the last quarter of 2024. So Christmas really will be here before you know it. Yes, so make the perfect Christmas gift for any friend or anybody in your family. So get a hold of that. Tell them the Tan and J-Man Show sent you. Get 15% off your first sign. All right, now we'll talk some college football. Any big takeaways from week one in your mind? I mean, I know a lot of teams played FCS schools.
Right.
The only FCS school to beat FBS school was actually in week zero when Montana State beat New Mexico. So not a good start for Bronco Mendenhall out there. But any big takeaways you saw from watching some games?
Week one, it's always fun to have college football back, and then you look at the matchups and you have, again, a bunch of FCS schools where teams are winning by 40, 50, 60. But only one Big Ten team lost, and that was Minnesota, and they should have won. They missed a fairly short field goal. Now, college kickers, I mean, you never know what you're going to get, but missed a field goal, so they lost by 2 to North Carolina. But other than that, every Big Ten team took care of business. There were some Big Ten teams that didn't look all that great, including Oregon, who I said would win by 70. I'm pretty sure that was my bookie prediction.
You know, I thought they'd put up 70 and they put up 24. It was it's really weird. You look at the box score, you're like, how did they not kill Idaho? And they just couldn't get it done.
Michigan struggled with Fresno State. Fresno State's a solid program, but Michigan's offense did not look very good. And then they got into another skirmish in their tunnel, which is the fourth time this has happened over the past couple of years. And so maybe Michigan's the issue there. They always blame the other team, which that's typical Michigan fans and team. But USC had a really good win last night. It's so weird to say USC in my takeaways for Big Ten football. I still can't get it's going to take me a long time to get used to that one. But really nice win against LSU last night. Brian Kelly, I think he's starting to wear thin a little bit there with LSU Nation. And he'll be calling for his head sooner or later.
He was pretty mad after the game yesterday. I'm mad at himself, mad at his team. It's funny seeing Notre Dame fans react to Brian Kelly now, because like it's what all us non-Notre Dame fans said his whole tenure at Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Now they're finally seeing it. So I don't know. I still think they'll win 9 or 10 games.
Probably.
They always seem to stumble earlier in the year and won, and then they get on a roll. But yeah, good win for USC. Lincoln Riley, they needed it. I thought Miller Moss played pretty well. He's a good story. He's one of the rare instances anymore in college football, which guys take their dues. Stick with the program until it's their time, and you know, they rise to the occasion. Hopefully, maybe that'll become more of a common thing again. Notre Dame, you know, we were just talking about Notre Dame fans. Notre Dame had a good win.
Very good.
Down at Texas A&M. I guess it was a combination of Notre Dame's defense is really, really good. In Texas A&M's offense, I'm not sold on Casey Wigman. I know he was hurt for a majority of last year, and he – looked pretty rusty the other night. But all in all, that was a really good win at a sold-out Ryan Field down there. And they are favored in each of their remaining 11 games. And I think the lowest one's like 60%. That might be against USC. So we'll see. I mean, you can't win games on paper, but they sure look like you can pencil them in for the college football playoff. But there's 11 games left. Injuries could happen. You never know. It's a long season. Somebody could sneak up on them. They could slip up. But it looks like it's going to be probably a fun season for Irish fans. And like you said, Big Ten, every team won except Minnesota. And you should be thankful that North Carolina won, because that was the difference between you and I's picks for the week. So I took P.J. Fleck and the Golden Gophers. You took North Carolina and Mack Brown. So you were right. I was wrong.
Starting the winning already there in the pick.
Yeah. Some things just don't change, unfortunately. as for me, for Purdue, I enjoyed a great day at Ross State Stadium. They had the most attendance they've had for a home opener since 2005. So that was pretty cool. You know, coming off a 4-8 season playing at FCS school, didn't really matter. People wanted to go out and enjoy the nice day. Purdue took care of business like they needed to. I was saying last week they needed to not just win, they needed to dominate, and that's what they did, winning 49-0. And Hudson Card, I don't care who you play, going 24 for 25 is pretty hard to do. And that's what he did, throwing for 275 yards, 4 touchdowns on top of that. So in his last 3 starts for Purdue, he's throwing it was Minnesota, Indiana last year, and now Indiana State's throwing 10 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. So hopefully he can keep that up. He looked sharp. New wide receivers looked good. Like I said, it's hard telling when playing Indiana State, but now they're on a bye week. But originally they were supposed to have a bye this past week. When the schedule came out and Walters – and Indiana State worked out a deal where they flipped those 2 weeks. So now they get a week to rest. They were without 3 starters. Hopefully those guys can get healed up this week and be ready for Notre Dame next week. So I don't hate it. I do hate it as a fan. You know, you get so hyped up.
Right.
Your team's back, and then you get one game under your belt, then it's a bye. But if it gives them a better chance to pull an upset against Notre Dame, then I'm all for it. Give them another week of prep. So
I'll give Purdue fans credit, because they show up for football.
They do.
Games. I mean, I turned on the Illinois game for a few minutes, and they had 45,000, which is pretty good for Illinois football. The place holds 61, though.
It was a Thursday night, too.
And it was a Thursday night. Supposedly, they're 1,000 tickets away from having a sellout on Saturday against Kansas.
Yeah.
But Illinois fans just don't show up for football. They do for basketball. Obviously, but that's the difference, because even when Purdue was, you know, under the Darryl Hazel regime, I mean, attendance was down, but it was still much better than what some programs would have had during a stretch like that. So
yeah, and it's funny you mentioned that, because I was going to bring up Kurt Cignetti kind of took a shot to IU fans, saying, come out to games, make this a football atmosphere, because I guess a lot of people left early in their 31-7 win against FIU, which it was a pretty warm day, so that probably was part of it. But it's like, Kurt, you might need to get used to that, because unless IU can pull off some big wins, that's just kind of how their fans roll down there.
Yeah, I saw a shot of the like opening kickoff, and the student section was packed. Then like midway through the third, there was maybe a third left.
Yeah.
So, which again, that's typical of Indiana football fans there as well. And I don't think Indiana football fans would really be offended or disagree with that either, because they're for one, they were more excited for the Saturday night game anyway. So.
Yep, and I will say, even with student sections are concerned, Purdue students were pretty bare by the fourth.
Oh, I'm sure. Once you get up,
it was hot, and they're like, we're going to go do some other activities.
We're going to go have some fun. So
yeah, exactly. Can't blame them. So, but all in all, happy college football's back. Yeah. That was a good game last night. I watched the majority of that USC-LSU game. That was pretty good stuff.
One other note I wanted to hit on before we start picking games, Clemson. refused.
Yeah, my ACC champ.
Yeah, you were making fun of me for which I mean they State. Lost to Georgia. I'll give them that. But you're making fun of me for picking Florida State.
Oh boy,
Georgia Tech. But Clemson. I mean, Dabo's trying to keep everything the same as it was, 5 years ago, and that's just not gonna work these days. And there was a massive talent gap between Georgia and Clemson, and I've never been a big Cade Klubnik believer, but he looked terrible against that great Georgia defense. Their offensive line looked bad. They might be okay in the ACC because, again, you have maybe three other good teams in Louisville and Miami and Florida State. But
Miami looked good Saturday.
They did. My Canes. That might be the team. That might be the team, because I turned that game on, and I was like, all right, man.
I honestly thought Florida would pull the upset. Napier's a walking
dead man.
I don't even know. Yeah, dead man walking. Thank you. Because that team might have checked out already after week one.
Yeah, there were guys posting like snap stories, like screw this team, all that sort of stuff. And
not good down there in Gainesville, man.
Yeah, they fired Dan Mullen after winning 10 games a bunch of years, and they thought they could do better. And Billy Napier has come in and poured gasoline on the fire and made it
not as easy as it was in Raging Cajunville, Raging Cajuns, University of Louisiana, Raging Cajuns. Miami looks impressive. So and Clemson not so much. And it's weird, I got so sick of Alabama. I'm not really sick of Georgia. I don't know why.
I don't know why about it. Yeah, we got sick of Clemson though when we weren't sick of them.
That's true.
We got sick of Golden State when we weren't sick of them.
That's true.
I'm sure that'll be coming. And Georgia losing this past year. Did they even make the playoff? I don't think they made the playoff, did they? It was Washington, Georgia? Alabama, Michigan, and Georgia?
Yeah. No, Georgia did not make the playoff.
That's what I thought. So maybe that's why.
Washington, Alabama. Alabama. It was Michigan, Alabama, Washington, Texas.
Texas, that's right. No. Yeah. I'm sick of Texas, and they haven't won anything in years.
Well, they got a big one this weekend.
They do. Yeah. That'll be an interesting one. But
it's weird that game's at noon.
Is it big noon Fox?
Yeah. And Michigan seems to have a lot of their games, big games at noon, I guess. So, yeah.
Are they one of the they have lights, right?
They have lights. I think every Big Ten team has lights now.
It seems like they should have lights.
I think now with the new TV contracts and everything, I think
you got it. Yeah.
Northwestern's temporary stadium, interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting. And it's a cool backdrop. It does look like you're watching a game at like the county fair or something.
Yep. I didn't see much of it. I just saw a few highlights and I knew it was 3-3.5.
I saw a stat. They fumbled 15 times last season and only lost one, and they fumbled twice in the first half and lost both of them. So maybe the luck has turned a little bit for them.
Yeah.
So
I could see that.
I mean, they did find a way to win. It wasn't pretty, but they did.
Yeah. You want to dive in some games, some picks now?
Yeah.
Got two Friday night games this week in the Big Ten, starting with Western Illinois, who took a beating to Ethan Hampton in the Northern Illinois Huskies. They traveled to Bloomington to take on the Hoosiers.
The Leathernecks of Western Illinois. Give me Indiana for 9.
I got Indiana for 8, so we're right there. Duke at Northwestern. This isn't a spell bowl or a math bowl or anything like that. This is a football game. Northwestern is a 3-point favorite.
Give me Duke for 1 after seeing the score of the Northwestern. I have no clue what Duke did. I know they lost a lot of their team, but give me Duke.
You're your old boy Manny Diaz. It's Duke's coach now.
That's right, yeah.
I'm taking Northwestern for 6.
Oh, all right.
Because I had a feeling you're going to take Duke, so I'm like, I need to pick.
Can never take Northwestern. It's hard to do that.
Number 4, Texas, 6.5-point favorite on the road at the defending champion Michigan Wolverines, who ranked number 9.
Michigan's got to play a lot better, obviously. I just think Texas is better, so give me Texas for 2.
That right there with you, Texas for 2. Quinn Ewers looked good the other day. Even Arch Manning in backup relief duty looked good the other day a little bit. So, Bowling Green at number 8, Penn State, who is a 35-point favorite.
Penn State, I watched. That was the game we had on where I was, and they looked really good against West Virginia.
I thought West Virginia would put up more of a fight.
I really did too. They fumbled a couple times early, and that kind of lost all momentum. But, Penn State's quarterback, whose name is escaping me.
Drew Aller.
Looked so much improved from last season. So give me Penn State for 13.
I got Penn State for 13 as well. It's getting scary. Akron, man, they're just wanting the paydays. I mean, they they played at Ohio State, which actually they hung in there in the first half.
A little bit, yeah.
And now they travel to Rutgers. Rutgers, a 23.5-point favorite.
Now give me Rutgers for 11.
Rutgers for 10. I got Rutgers for 10. Rhode Island Rams traveling to Minnesota. Smart scheduling here by Minnesota.
Yeah. Minnesota's quarterback, who's a transfer from New Hampshire, I assume would be familiar with Rhode Island a little bit. Probably. Seems like they play each other. But give me Minnesota for 10. I think they bounce back.
I got the Golden Gophers for 12. If they don't bounce back,
yeah,
that boat's going to be sinking.
Yeah.
Sinking fast. South Dakota at Wisconsin. Wisconsin survived a little scare from the Western Michigan Broncos. I enjoyed watching that game. It's it's fun when you play with a team on College Football 25 and know the roster a little bit. I like Wisconsin for 15, though, in this one.
I have Wisconsin for 8.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I know nothing about South Dakota.
I was not a fan of Tyler Van Dyke when he was at Miami, and the same issue showed up at Wisconsin. So.
Yeah. Eastern Michigan at Washington, who's a 27-point favorite.
Washington for 12.
I got Washington for 11. In-state rivalry here. This should be a pretty good one. Iowa State at number 25, Iowa, who's a 3-point favorite.
Iowa scored 40 points.
Told you they'd score at least 30.
They didn't look great early for the first half, but then kind of turned it on late. Probably their defense put them in a good spot, which they usually do. Give me Iowa.
They didn't return a punt in the first half, but it got called back.
Again, yeah, they're used to that at this point. Give me Iowa for 5, just because it's a home game.
I got the Hawkeyes for 4. Big Ten matchup.
Yeah.
Michigan State at Maryland. Maryland's 9.5-point favorite. Maryland wiped the floor with UConn. Like you said, UConn just needs to get rid of their football program. And like you also said, our group chat, Dex, death, Texas, Michigan State struggling on a Friday night because they were lucky to get that win against Florida Atlantic.
Yeah, they were up 16-10 at one point, and FAU was in Michigan State territory with less than 5 minutes left, and they got to stop. But give me Maryland for 4.
I'm taking Maryland for 5. Number 22, Kansas, 6-point favorite on the road at Illinois.
Kind of the same as Purdue. Illinois looked really good against an FCS opponent. Luke Altmaier threw 4 touchdowns. Caden Fagan ran real well. I don't know if Illinois is going to be able to stop Kansas' offense, so give me Kansas for 3.
I got the Jayhawks for 3 as well. You flipped on that pick. Last week when we were doing our season predictions, you had Illinois winning that game. So
yeah.
You flipped. That's all right.
The fact that you thought I'd remember that is the funny part.
Western Michigan, another team that just wants to cash those checks right now. At number 2, Ohio State, who's 38.5-point favorite.
Ohio State for 14.
I got the Buckeyes for 14 as well. Colorado at Nebraska, an old Big 12 rivalry, Big 8 rivalry. Nebraska's 7-point favorite. Nebraska looked real good against UTEP. Colorado's offense looked real good against North Dakota State. Defense, not so much. They're still as arrogant as ever. I was getting animated watching that game Thursday night. It was kind of embarrassing. Who do you got?
Dylan Raiola tries to be Patrick Mahomes, and he looked like him out there. The way he even walked looked like him.
I know.
And he looked really good in his first career start. This will be the J-Man's Book It Prediction of the Week. I got Nebraska winning that one, getting revenge for last year's debacle out there in Colorado. I have that for 15 points. And the reasoning I have 15 points is because I forgot that game and I had to put it in late.
You would have been better just not to even give any reasoning, just 15 points.
That's fine. I might have taken them for 15 anyway, just because I dislike the Sanders.
They are very unlikable.
Yeah.
Travis Hunter's a dude, though.
He's good. Yeah, he'll be a top. He's a legitimate top five guy. Shadur is not.
Shadur is impressive. Don't get me wrong, but like his scrambling and some of the things he gets away with in college, he will not be able to in NFL.
And Deion said they're going to pull an Eli with multiple teams with both Hunter and Shadur when Shadur is a tie. And then he throws Shiloh in the mix too, which is hilarious.
He just gets us for some like conduct penalties. That's all he does.
He's the dirtiest player. And I saw a clip today. It was them at practice and Shadur was calling out his brother, said he's the dirtiest player in college football. So that was kind of funny.
Who's the J-Man's Book of Prediction of the Week sponsored by?
J-Man's Book of Prediction of the Week brought to you by Indiana Farm Bureau Insurance Agent Travis Watring for Life, Home, Auto, Business, Renters, Workers, Comp, and Farm Insurance. Contact Travis at 219-869-4561. His email is travis.watching@infp.com.
I am also taking the Cornhuskers. I'm looking forward to watching this game Saturday night, but I'm taking them for one because I really think it's a toss-up.
Yeah.
I really think it's a toss-up. And it kind of hurts me taking Nebraska because I'm not a big Nebraska guy either. Two more here. Boise State at number 3, Oregon, 18.5-point favorite. Oregon's going to have to play better than they did against Idaho.
Yeah, Boise survived a scare. They played at Georgia Southern, which credit to them for playing out of place like that. Mm-hmm. I was back and forth. That's probably the best game of the early window over the weekend. And I saw a couple people predict them to be the 12th team in the playoff, Boise. So they must be a really good group of five this year. But give me Oregon at home for 6.
I got the Ducks for 7. I think Dan Lanning, I wouldn't want to be an Oregon player in practice this week. No. I think he'll get their focus back.
Yeah.
And then we got Utah State at number 23, USC, who is a 28.5-point favorite.
Utah State's been a pretty good program for a while. USC, I think, will come out of the gate struggling a little bit after their big win against LSU, but I think they ultimately take care of business. USC for 7.
I got Fight On for 9. What was I going to say when you're talking about? Oh, you were saying Boise State and Georgia Southern was the best game in the early window. Some would argue that was Virginia Tech and Vanderbilt.
That was a good one. Yeah, Vandy got the job done, too.
Got the job done. Yeah. And overtime, I saw some people saying Virginia Tech was a dark horse to win the ACC this year.
Yeah.
Not off to a good foot there.
No, that's a bad loss. Because Vanderbilt is one of the worst, Power Four conference teams.
Mm-hmm.
That was a bad one.
Yeah, big time win for them. Other games, some top 25 games. Let's see here. I haven't even looked at them yet. I'm pulling them up on my phone. Number 18, Kansas State at Tulane.
Give me Tulane.
Kansas State's a 10-point favorite.
I like Tulane. Tulane used to be a garbage program. In the past couple of years, they've been really good. They lost their coach, though.
Yes. I'll take the Wildcats, but I think it's a close game. Arkansas at number 17, Oklahoma State, who's a 7.5-point favorite.
Give me Oklahoma State.
I will take Oklahoma State as well. Ollie Gordon had 2 touchdowns the other day.
Should have been suspended, but
that was South Dakota State, I believe they played. Ethan Hampton in Northern Illinois at number 7, Notre Dame, who's a 28.5-point favorite. Irish cover, you think?
I would say they cover. Although they could have a little hangover effect. And I didn't think Riley Leonard looked all that great for them either. But their defense.
He looked good running, but his passing wasn't very good.
Which is kind of his MO at Duke anyway. So they're going to need more from the passing game. But that defense is one of the best in the country.
Yep. Yep. I think Notre Dame rolls in that one. Baylor at number 12, Utah. Utah is a 14-point favorite.
Give me Utah. Hey, Utah teams. Should win the Big 12, honestly.
Yep. Yes, they should. South Florida at number 5, Alabama. Alabama looked, they should against Western Kentucky. Yeah. They looked really good. Alabama's a 31-point favorite.
They cover.
We do have a ranked matchup. Number 15, Tennessee is a 7.5-point favorite at number 24, NC State, who didn't play all that well in their week 1 matchup.
Yeah. yeah, the redshirt freshman quarterback, Nico Amoliva, for Tennessee, looked really good. Might end up being the best quarterback in the country by year's end. Give me Tennessee on the road.
Yeah, I'm taking the Vols as well. Houston, they are 0-1.
Yeah.
They lost to UNLV 27-7.
Yeah.
Now they go on the road in Norman to face number 16 Oklahoma, who's a 29.5 point favorite.
I think they cover. Yeah. Houston's bad this year.
Yeah. They, that program was good 5-10 years ago, and they're falling. What could we put Clemson on upset alert here, hosting Appalachian State?
App State's been a great program ever since their FCS days, including it's 17 years ago today. They pulled off one of the greatest upsets ever at the Big House. I think Clemson bounced back, but I think it'll be fairly close. What's the spread on that one?
17.
I don't think Clemson covers. I think that's 14 either. Or less.
Sean Clark hopefully has the Mountaineers ready to roll. I'll be rooting for them. So should be fun. That's the one beauty of my team being on a bye. I can sit back, relax, and just watch a bunch of games, which I'm looking forward to doing. Get to watch a game day this week. So looking forward to that. I saw a couple highlights. Saban, man, he's all business. McAfee's all party, sitting next to each other. So that's kind of comical.
I do not like McAfee at all.
I like him in bits and pieces. I like some of his stuff, but some of it's like, okay, if ESPN wasn't paying you as much money as they are every year, you could not get away with all.
They've fired a lot of talented people over the past couple of years to keep that frat bro up there, and
that's a good way to put it.
It rubs me wrong.
Good way to put it. So, yeah. Well, we will shift gears and talk some NFL, but first I have some pick six for you, but this could be an interesting one. I got a roster up here. I'm going to have you throw out some numbers. So pick a number between, let's see here. Let's pick a number between 0 and 99.
16.
16. So what I got up here is the Dolphins roster. Number 16 is their punter, Jake Bailey.
Yeah, terrible, terrible punter, and they should have brought in competition. In fact, there was a Middle Tennessee State punter that lives in Miami. Every day he shows up to training camp with a sign, give me a tryout, I'll punt for the league minimum. I'll punt for cheap, and then in parentheses, league minimum. And he averaged like 46 yards a punt last year at Middle Tennessee State. Wish they would have given him a shot because Jake Bailey is trash.
All right, give me another number.
72. I know who that is. I'll try to give you numbers that I don't know. 46, if they have it.
All right, 46 is Marcus May, safety.
I believe he was from the Saints. Surprised he made the roster. They picked him up for a one-year deal. I think he's more of a depth piece than he is anything. He'll play special teams, but especially since they have Javon Holland, who I don't know if he's healthy, and Jordan Poyer, he's more of a depth guy.
Another number?
93
is Calais Campbell.
Calais Campbell, yeah. The Dolphins have the oldest starting roster.
17 years.
Yeah, oldest starting roster on average in the NFL, and a lot of it's due to Calais Campbell being, 37, 38 years old. But he's been a good player for a long time, and I've hated him since 2016 when he went low on Tannehill and blew out his knee, tore Tannehill's ACL. But Calais, it'll be a good fit because they needed some defensive line help.
All right, another one.
Go 22.
Elijah Campbell.
Elijah Campbell, he's another defensive back. I believe he's out of Minnesota.
Northern Iowa.
That was way off. not way off geographically.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I don't know. I'm assuming he made the team, but he was kind of a bubble guy, and he played a decent amount last year because of injuries. Let's go 34.
34. There's no 34.
35.
There's no 35.
Six.
Storm Duck. Cornerback rookie from Louisville.
Yeah, rookie from Jeff Brohm's Louisville. He made the team because he had a really good training camp in preseason. He'll be a special teamer, probably their fifth or so cornerback, I imagine, or defensive back. But good for him because he's an undrafted guy. So,
and give me one more, just for fun, one more.
99.
There's no 99.
98.
No 98.
Seven.
No, not 97.
Six.
96 is the highest number, and it is Brandon Pili. Yeah,
he'll start at defensive tackle this year, which is a little scary after losing Christian Wilkins. But they have Zach Sealer, who's one of the better DTs in the league. They run more of a 3-4 or 3-3-5, and he'll be a their nose tackle.
Well, that was a first in TNJ Man Show history. I like that. I actually just called numbers, but I thought that was kind of fun.
Yeah, so. That was fun.
And that is the Pick Six segment, which is brought to you by Like Is Every Performer Print Suit Promo Group. If you're looking for a trustworthy, dependable resource for next trade show, company picnic, or a sales meeting, Performer Print Suit Promo Group has over 50 years combined experience in promotional products and commercial print. They strive for fast and efficient response to all your print needs, so you need to look no further. Let them be your one-source print and promotional company today by giving Barbara Van Weinsberg a call at 574-210-3815. NFL.
My favorite show of the year.
Yeah, it's definitely one of mine up there. That or last week's Big Ten ones. Yeah. And I like the Big Ten basketball one too.
Yeah.
So how do you want to do this? Should we do our week one games first, or should we do our overall season predictions, then our week one games?
I say we do predictions first and then game picks.
All right. Well, I will let you lead the way with divisions.
I say we go AFC first, starting with the AFC West.
The AFC West. Well, it's no shock who I have winning the AFC West. And that's the Kansas City Chiefs. And I actually don't have them losing a division game. I have them going 6-0 in division, 14-3 overall. And they're my number one seed in the AFC.
Yeah, I have them going 15-2 winning the West. I think they're poised to win another one, unfortunately. So, yeah, they'll be really good. Obviously, Pat Mahomes, and you still have Kelsey for at least one more year. I think their defense has improved. So, yeah.
Who do you got finishing number two?
I have the LA Chargers finishing second at 10-7 and making the playoffs as a wild card team.
I have them finishing second at 9-8, 2-4 in the division, but missing the playoffs as a 9 seed.
I have them at 10-7, so we're right same wavelength a little bit. Who you got finishing third?
I got the Denver Broncos at 7-10, 2-4 in that division.
I also have the Broncos finishing 7-10, finishing third.
And then last, I got the Las Vegas Raiders. I bounced at Oakland. going 2-4 as well in the division, but 5-12 overall.
I also have the Raiders at 5-12. So we are pretty much right there in the AFC West.
How many weeks do you think till Gardner Minshew gets benched for Aiden O'Connell?
5.
I was thinking 5-6.
See, yeah. Especially if they start out, 1-4 or something like that, or 2-3 even.
And even though I'm an Aiden fan, I think they'll be in the market for a quarterback in the draft.
They should be, and I think they'll be bad enough where they can get a top 10 pick or whatever. AFC North, I have the Baltimore Ravens winning that division at 13-4.
All right, AFC North. I have the Cincinnati Bengals winning that division at 13-4, 4-2 in the division, as in the 4 seed in the playoffs.
I have the Cincinnati Bengals finishing second at 12-5 and making the playoffs.
I got the Baltimore Ravens second at 11-6, 4-2 in the division, and 5 seed.
I have the Cleveland Browns finishing 8-9, finishing third.
I got the Steelers third at 7-10. 2-4 in the division.
I believe Russell Wilson was named the starter today.
Captain today. Starter last captain. Week, captain today. Okay. One of the 4 captains.
Yep. I knew I saw him in the headline somewhere. However, this is one that was kind of a surprise to me because they probably won't be this bad, but I have the Steelers finishing fourth at 3-14. At the end of the year, I'm sure they'll be right around 500, even over, honestly. But as the schedule lined up on the pick 'em, I had them 3-14.
So how many games, in your theory, how many games till Fields takes over for Russell Wilson?
I'll go 4 or 5 again because I think Russell's time's done. And honestly, he doesn't have more weapons to throw to or anything that he had in Denver. And Arthur Smith has been proven to be a bad offensive mind. So
I'm totally prepared for him week 2 to go out to Denver and throw for 400 yards, 5 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Beat the Broncos. Of course. I have the Cleveland Browns last at 6-11, 2-4. I know a lot of people are pricking the Browns to make the playoffs. I'm not a believer. I'm not a believer.
Yeah. Deshaun Watson was the most inaccurate quarterback in the NFL last year. And they played better when Joe Flacco was in there. And he's the reason why they made the playoffs. So, yeah, right there with you. AFC East.
I this is one of those that shocked me after I was done. I got the J-E-T-S Jets.
Oh, Jets
at 14-3.
Holy mackerel.
4-2 in the division.
I have the Buffalo Bills winning again at 13-4. That surprised me, but I think their schedule is fairly easy, considering. So, yeah, Bills Bills winning that one. I have the Jets third at 9-8. So we're way off there. And
I think that's more realistic. I don't know.
It could be more wishful thinking on my part too. And they'll probably be somewhere in between like 11 and 6 or something like that. But the whole Jets narrative or the shtick with, you know, the morning show with Greenberg and Bart Scott and those guys, Damian Woody, all Jets guys for one.
Yeah.
Is getting old. And Jeff Darlington this week was on there, and Greeny said the Jets are the number one threat to the Kansas City Chiefs, and Darlington went off and he said, we've been hearing this for 2 years. We need to see it first. And he's not wrong, because I mean, week one, they have a real tough game, and Rodgers is 40 years old coming off a major injury. Yeah, we'll just have to see. I don't know.
Yeah, if they go 14-3 in the two seed, like I said, Twitter's going to be insufferable.
It's going to be brutal. I'm going to have to deactivate.
We already got a sample of it from the Knicks.
Yeah. And you that's, know? Yeah. And that's, I don't even follow NBA stuff, and it's still somehow crept into
right,
my timeline.
But I got the Bills second in the division in the sixth seed, making the playoffs at 11-6, 4-2 in the division.
I have the Dolphins finishing 10-7 once again. I think they're 11-6 last year, now that I say that. I think they'll be a little worse this year. They still have the same guys throwing the ball. Tyreek said today he hasn't seen OBJ in a week. So who the heck knows
what's
going
great.
On there? I mean, he's starting the year on the pup list anyway.
Yeah, but that guy just.
Yeah. So they have the same pass catchers, same. The offensive line scares me to death. Defensively, I think they'll be better with their new DC from Baltimore. I think they'll be around the same. Their schedule is okay, especially early. I think they'll start off hot again. They should on paper. And then they'll probably tank towards the end of the year once again. But I have them in there. I think I have them the sixth seed.
I have the Dolphins also 10-7, 4-2 in the division, just making the playoffs as a seventh seed. So,
yeah, I think that's a pretty fair top three, and there's a very clear number four there, which I have the New England Patriots again. Starting Jacoby Brissett, which I think is a very wrong move, because I think Drake May will be starting by week four. So what's the point of putting yourself in a hole for four
games? That's how what I was saying about the Broncos.
Exactly. Very smart. Just start the rookie. You're going to go to him halfway through at the
latest. You're going to have some growing pains, but that's how they get better. So.
Exactly. And so that's why I have the Patriots at 3-14, finishing dead last.
You ready for this?
Yeah.
0-17. I had no idea either. I thought I picked them 3 or 4 times. I'm like, well, they're not going to be that bad, even though I do think they're going to be bad. But 0-17.
That would be classic.
Couldn't happen to a better fan base.
AFC South, who you have winning it?
I got the Houston Texans at 13-4, 5-1 in the division.
I'm buying the Houston Texans. This whole Super Bowl talk, I'm not buying. However, but I do have them winning the division at 10-7. And I think they'll be pretty good.
What do you got finishing second?
Jacksonville Jaguars at 8-9. Big year. I know Lawrence just signed the extension. He's not going anywhere. But he was not that good last year, and maybe a big year for Doug Peterson too.
Right. I got Jacksonville at second as well, 9-8, 5-1 in the division, so going pretty good in the division, but just missing the playoffs as the eighth seed. Mm-hmm. So,
I have the Indianapolis Colts finishing third at 7-10. Anthony Richardson, he looked okay when he was playing, but he just never played. He had a bunch of concussions, injury issues, and they have a really good backup in case he does get injured in Joe Flacco. It'll be interesting to see his development this year and if he can develop as a passer, because that was the question mark coming out of college, and it's remains to be seen.
I got the Colts third in that division as well at 6-11, only 1-5 in the division. I'm pretty sure that's a home game against the Titans, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. So just a lot of question marks on the roster for me.
Mm-hmm. Both have Titans finishing fourth. I have them 3-14. I think
I got 3-14 as well. Yeah. 1-5 in the division. I think them and the Patriots are going to be the worst two teams in the league.
And if they do go 3-14 with Will Levis, I think they'll be in the market for a first round quarterback.
Yep, I do as well.
NFC East, I have the Dallas Cowboys winning that one at 13-4.
NFC East, I have the Dallas Cowboys at 13-4 winning the division as well, 5-1 in the division, third seed in the NFC.
Yeah, this is the year they need to do something in the postseason, or Dak's going to be called out. I think McCarthy, I mean, if they go 13-4, you'd have a hard time firing your head coach. But if you are one and done in the playoffs again, there's reason to believe that I think Jerry would do it. So, this one surprised me. Not that they have, I have them finishing second. I have the Rams finishing second, but I have them at 13-4.
Who, the Eagles?
The Rams. Oh, I'm jumped out. Yeah, that's true. No, I have the Eagles. I'm sorry. Finishing second at 12-5.
Okay. I was so confused there for a second. Like, what are we doing? I got the Eagles finishing second, 11-6, 5-1 in the division, six seed in the NFC.
Yeah, their captain, Jason Kelce, has retired. So it'll be interesting to see how their offensive line responds. Still too much talent. I'm not a huge believer in Jalen Hurts, especially MVP Jalen Hurts. He wasn't that great last year, and they struggled down the stretch and then got whooped by Tampa in the playoffs. So, but I think they'll be good, 12-5. Big year for their head coach, Nick Sirianni, though.
Yeah, absolutely. That season went downhill for them quick, and then the playoff game at Tampa was a disaster.
Yeah.
So, third in that division, I got the Giants finishing 5-12, 1-5 in the division.
Giants have 3-14. Daniel Jones is not the answer. He's bad, in fact. And, I just think they'll be bad. They had a miracle year with Brian Daboll when they were winning a bunch of close games, and that dried up last year. And I think they should be in the market for a quarterback heading into the next season.
And finishing last, I have the Commanders at 3-14, 1-5 in the division.
I have them 2-15. Could be a rough year, but at least you have a young quarterback to watch that makes it worth tuning in every week. But they, on paper, they're maybe the worst team in the NFL.
Yep.
One of the worst teams in the NFL. Mm-hmm. So.
What division's up next?
Now we do the NFC West, and I'll get it right this time. Oh. I have the San Francisco 49ers finishing 15-2. The Ayuk saga's over, but the Trent Williams one is beginning, as who knows if he's going to play week one.
Death, taxes, Tanner having the Niners with a great record. I got them 15-2 as well, 5-1 in the division. Number one seed in the NFC.
Yeah, their schedule sets up pretty easily. Yeah. As I hinted at, I'll say hinted at earlier, NFC West, I have the Rams finishing second. Their record's the one that surprised me. I have them 13-4.
Well, we're not too far off. I got them 12-5, 4-2 in the division, 5 seed in the NFC. So.
Yeah. I have the Seattle Seahawks finishing third at 7-10.
Exact 7-10. I got them 3-3 in the division, 10 seed.
Arizona Cardinals at 4-13.
I got them 2-15, not winning a division game, 16 seed. I think they move on for Kyler Murray after this year.
I do too. He has weapons to throw the ball to, Marvin Harrison Jr.
What other weapons?
That's yeah. I should have said he has a weapon to throw the ball to.
Yeah,
non plural. They were a little bit of a surprise last year that they weren't 1-16.
Right.
Right. Yeah, I don't think they're a very good roster whatsoever.
I don't either.
NFC North, I have the Detroit Lions winning that division 12-5.
I got the Lions winning via tiebreaker of their division record at 10-7, 4-2 in the division, so number four seed in the NFC.
I have the Packers 11-6.
Got the Chicago Bears 10-7, but 2-4 in the division, getting the seventh seed in the playoffs.
So you talk all that trash about them not being a playoff team, and here we are.
Just went week by week, man, week by week. I'm not saying Super Bowl, though.
Yeah.
I'm not saying Super Bowl.
I was listening to the Cubs coming home from work one night, and then I happened to keep it on 670 to the score. And then when I turned the car on in the morning this past week, they go, week one of the Chicago Bears. Next week, you have the best quarterback in Bears history in Caleb Williams. You have the most explosive offense in the NFL with Rome Odunze and DJ Moore and Keenan Allen. Tune in each week for our analysis.
Pop I have the Bears breaks.
8-9. They will be better. They should be better. And if they're not, Matt Eberflus should be canned. But then you're going to start the whole – Oh, another offensive coordinator, year two for Caleb Williams, and that you're going to start that string that they had with Trubisky and then Justin Fields. So I did see Eberflus has the highest odds for coach of the year heading into the season, which, I mean, they add all this talent. If he doesn't win with it, he should be fired. But yeah,
I got the Packers third, just missing the playoffs as an 8 seed, 9-8, but 5-1 in the division. So I think they play the division strong, just outside that, the struggle.
Yeah. Finishing fourth, I have the Minnesota Vikings. Think it'll be a rough year for them. Transition year with J.J. McCarthy being out now. I have them finishing 5-12.
I got them finishing 4-13, 1-5 in the division. I don't see them being very good.
Yeah. Last division here, the NFC South, where I have Tampa Bay Buccaneers repeating and winning that division at 11-6.
I'm high on the Falcons, I guess. Mm-hmm. I got them winning at 15-2 record, 5-1 in the division.
Yeah. I have the Falcons missing the playoffs, but being better and competitive at 10-7, new head coach there, new quarterback, Kirk Cousins. They drafted Michael Penix to sit behind him. Cousins struggles the first couple games, and he's coming off that major injury as well, like Aaron Rodgers.
I like their defense though.
Yeah. Then their defense was solid last year. They just couldn't score points. Mm-hmm. And Bijan Robinson year two, he's poised for a massive breakout. So I think they'll be good, but I'm finishing second at 10-7.
I got the Bucks second, just missing the playoffs as a 9 seed, 8-9, 4-2 in the division.
I have the New Orleans Saints finishing third at 8-9. I think they'll be fairly mediocre once again.
Yeah, I got them 7-10, 2-4 in the division. Yeah, whole home.
And then we both have the Carolina Panthers, who should be, again, really, really bad this year at 2-15. I have them.
I got them 3-14, 1-5 in the division. Then the question is, do they move on from Bryce Young if they do that?
Yeah, I mean, looking back, hindsight's 2020. They should have taken C.J. Stroud, but again, hindsight's 2020. Yeah. And it wasn't a slam dunk at that point. So
correct.
My wild card round, I have number 5 Cincinnati at number 4 Houston, and Houston moving on.
I have number 5 Baltimore at number 4 Cincinnati, and Cincinnati moving on.
I have number 6 Miami at 3 Buffalo. Buffalo moving on. Dolphins need to host a playoff game this year.
I got number 6 Buffalo at number 3 Houston with the Texans moving on.
I have the Chargers at number 2 Baltimore with Baltimore moving on.
I got the 7-seeded Dolphins at number 2 Jets with the Jets moving on. Sorry, Josh.
That would kill me. Number 5 Rams at number 4 Tampa Bay with the Rams moving on.
I got the rematch Rams at Detroit. Same result, Detroit moving on.
I have Philly at Detroit. Detroit moving on.
I got Philly at Dallas with Dallas moving on.
I have Green Bay at Dallas with Dallas moving on.
Got Chicago at Atlanta with Atlanta moving on.
I have Buffalo at Baltimore with Baltimore moving on.
I have Houston at the Jets with the Texans moving on.
I have Houston at Kansas City with Houston moving on.
I got the Cincinnati Bengals going into Arrowhead and Joe Burrow being the villain again and the Bengals moving on.
I have who I have as the 3 seed. For some reason, I put Minnesota down. But I have San Francisco moving on. Detroit at San Francisco with San Francisco moving on.
I have Dallas on the road at Atlanta. Atlanta coming victorious in that one.
I have man, how did I screw this up so bad? I have looks like the L.A. Rams at number 1 seeded. Who did I have the number 1? San Francisco. Man, San Francisco moving on.
I thought you just said you had San Francisco and Detroit.
I have. I don't know how I screwed this up so bad. What's going on with me? I don't think I deleted this from last year, and I'm trying to piece it together. I did for the AFC. I have my conference matchups are Detroit, San Francisco with San Francisco moving on, Houston at Baltimore with Baltimore moving on. So I have Baltimore versus San Francisco in the Super Bowl.
Okay. I got a rematch over here in the NFC with Detroit at San Francisco, but Detroit pulls it off this time. So I have in the conference championships, I have Cincinnati at Houston and Detroit at Atlanta. Amazing. I have a Bengals-Falcons Super Bowl.
Oh, that'd be kind of cool.
I think I had the Bengals in the Super Bowl last year, my prediction. Probably. So.
Big year for the Bengals. Baltimore-San Francisco rematch 2012. And I have San Francisco winning their first one since the 90s.
They have too soon. You would hate it, though. Billy would love it. You would hate it.
Absolutely hate it.
I have Atlanta taking home the Super Bowl. And then what do you do with Michael Penix? Because Kirk Cousins then's a Super Bowl champ.
I mean,
maybe he retires. I don't
know. Yeah, he might ride off into the sunset.
I have the Falcons over the Bengals. Both have been Super Bowl losers in the past decade. So,
yeah. Week one picks, Baltimore at Kansas City Thursday night.
I got the Chiefs for 6.
I have the Chiefs for 12. Remember last year, the Chiefs lost to Detroit at home on that
That's
Thursday
night. That's right. Forgot about that.
Green Bay versus Philly in Brazil on Friday night. They have just, the government has just banned X in Brazil. So we will not be seeing too many tweets from them.
Wow.
This week. Yeah.
I like the Packers for 4.
I have Philadelphia for 3. Pittsburgh at Atlanta.
Got the Falcons for 12.
I have Atlanta for 6. Arizona at Buffalo.
Got the Bills for 14.
Give me the Bills for 15. Tennessee at Chi-Town.
I got the Bears for 15.
I have the Bears for 4, so yeah, that's bad. New England at Cincinnati.
I got the Cincinnati Bengals for 16.
I also have the Bengals for 16. Houston at Indianapolis.
I got the Texans for 7.
I have the Texans for 7 as well. Jacksonville at Miami.
Got the Dolphins for 13.
I have the Dolphins for 8. You're a little more confident than I am. Maybe it's just because I hate the Jacksonville Jaguars so much. I've been dreading that game since the schedule came out. Carolina at New Orleans.
I got the Saints for 8.
I have the Saints for 14. Minnesota at the New York Football Giants.
I got the Giants for 2 in an upset.
I have Minnesota for 1. That is a coin toss sort of game because they both stink. Las Vegas Raiders at the LA Chargers.
Hate this game. Chargers for 9.
Chargers for 11. Denver at Seattle.
You know I had to do it. Denver for 1.
I have Seattle for 5. This is a rematch of game 1 2 years ago, right?
Except yeah, 2 years ago, and that's when they tried the McManus 63-yarder instead of trying to go for a 4th and 4. And yeah, Bo Nix, tough road environment for your first start. But in Seattle's wearing those beautiful 90s throwbacks.
Are gorgeous.
I'm looking forward to it. I'm ready to roll.
Yeah, absolutely. You got lower expectations heading in, but it makes it more fun, especially with a rookie quarterback. You just want to see him play well, and if he plays well, they got a shot. So, Dallas at Cleveland.
I got the Cowboys for 5.
I have the Cowboys for 10. Washington at Tampa.
Tampa for 11.
I have Tampa Bay for 9. The LA Rams at the Detroit Lions Sunday night.
I like the Rams for 3.
I like the Lions for 2. That place will be rocking.
Yeah, it will.
Stafford coming back, and not the first time he's come back.
He was a playoff rematch.
Playoff rematch. Yeah. Sunday nighter, that place will be rocking. New York Jets at the San Francisco 49ers.
You know, with my picks, I hyped up the Jets real good, but I hyped up the Niners too. Niners for 10.
I have the Niners for 13. I have real hard time picking the Jets here, and it'll be interesting. Again, Rodgers has played 4 snaps over the past 2 seasons. So 4 snaps last season, I should say. But he's only played 4 snaps since 2 years ago.
Right.
So, hate him. Absolutely hate him.
hate him.
Hate both of them. I don't hate the Niners that much. Not a fan of them, but I don't hate them. Birdie bogey here real quick before we sign off again, baseball related. Aaron Judge needs to hit 100 homers over his next – this was back on August 14th, so they've played quite a few games since then. Over the next 457 games, he needs to hit 100 homers to become the quickest since who to hit 400.
So it doesn't have to be an active player necessarily. It's not an active player. Okay.
Can't hear you over the music.
That was my fault. I got a couple guys in mind, but I'm going with Alex Rodriguez.
That's a good guess, but you are incorrect, friend. It is Mark McGwire.
He wasn't one of the few guys I was thinking.
He was also the quickest to 500. Can you name the guy who is quickest to 1, 2, and 300? Same guy. No, it was Ryan Howard.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. The big piece, what they call them.
Yeah.
So thanks for watching the Tan and J-Man Show live on the ISC Sports Network. We'll be back at it next Monday to recap week 1 and week 2 of the NFL and college football season, respectively. Have a fantastic week, everybody.